Please turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I would like to begin reading with the first verse and read through verse 8. Matthew chapter 17, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 8. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, the privilege of knowing that you're the God of heaven and earth, the one true and living God who created all things, and the one who will bring all things to a close. We're thankful that in your amazing grace that you sent your only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful that while we live here in this world, we're thankful that we can feel your presence with us from time to time, and we pray especially this morning as we begin to try to read and study thy holy word. We pray that you would manifest yourself to us, that we would be able to see and hear and understand the truth of thy word. We beg thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. You know the needs of every individual, and we pray that you would bless each of them. Bless those who are having surgery. Pray that you would bless them with a speedy recovery. Bless those who have lost loved ones. Comfort their hearts. Bless those who are being treated for cancer and those who have other kinds of problems and troubles. We pray that you would bless each one and bless the families of those who are sick. Give them the strength and grace that they need as they try to take care of their loved ones. Again, now we pray that you would bless our nation. Guide us and direct us. Have mercy upon our nation. We pray that you would give us godly leaders that would restore the righteous principles upon which our nation was founded. Bless us in the nursing home service this afternoon. Bless Brother Robert as he brings the message there. Pray that you would bless us in all the things that we do each day, that they would be done to thy name's honor and glory, and that we would please thee in all of our actions and the words of our mouth and the deeds of our lives. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading now from Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias," that's Elijah, "Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." If correctly read, that's Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. The main words that are on my heart this morning is where Peter expressed in verse 4, Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here." I think that if any of us had been on that mountain and seen the things that they saw and experienced what they experienced, we would understand, and I think we would declare with Peter, "Amen. Lord, it is good for us to be here." I want you to think about how privileged Peter and James and John were. Jesus came to them, and Jesus took them up into a mountain. And I believe that there have been occasions in my life, and I'm sure in your life also, that Jesus has come to you and has taken you up into a mountaintop experience. And we need to always realize that we need to be giving God glory and say, thank you, Lord, and Lord, it's good for us to be here. That's what Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Those three were alone with Jesus. You know, many times the Word of God tells us that there were multitudes of people with Jesus, but on this occasion, those three people were, Peter, James, and John, were alone with Jesus. And I think that from time to time, even though I do believe that corporate or congregational worship is wonderful, and to be in the house of God and to be able to feel the presence of God in the singing of songs and studying God's holy word and joining together in prayer, it ought to be another occasion that we say, Lord, it's good for us to be in the house of God. David felt that way. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If the people of God do not feel, Lord, it is good for us to be here, there's something wrong in our lives. I can't imagine someone being in the presence of Jesus and not saying what Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. So they were up on that mountain, and there were just three of them. I mentioned that it's good to be in the house of God with a lot of God's people, but it's also good from time to time for you to get alone with Jesus. And whenever you could ever be alone with Jesus and feel the presence of Jesus with you alone, you also can say, Lord, it's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be in your presence. Another reason that they could say, Lord, it is good for us to be here, is that they saw Moses and Elijah. Now, brethren, it's impossible for us to fully explain all that happened here. Jesus was transfigured before them. They saw the glorified Christ. They saw Jesus shining as the noonday sun. And that was another reason they could say, Lord, it's good for us to be here to see the glory of Christ shining. But then to see Moses and Elijah was another blessing. Now, the mistake that they made was that they seemed to equate Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Moses and Elijah were two of the greatest men of the Old Testament. Moses, it was through Moses that they received the law. And it was through Elijah. Elijah was the beginning of the prophets. And the Word of God often talks about the law and the prophets. And Moses and Elijah were two of the greatest men of the Old Testament. And to be able to see Moses and Elijah, who had been dead for hundreds of years, and to see Jesus transfigured, I don't know of any human beings on the face of the earth who have ever experienced anything greater than this. And so it is that they could say, in sincerity and in truth, Lord, it is good for us to be here. But I believe with all of my heart, brethren, that everybody in this building, every child of God, ought to realize that it is good for us to be in a lot of different places. And we ought to begin to realize, I don't think we appreciate the blessings that we have sometimes. I think that there are times that we are in a wonderfully blessed position, and yet we don't even say, Lord, it's good to be here. Mountaintop experiences have been enjoyed by many of the people of God, just like Peter, James, and John. Mountaintop experiences have been experienced by many of the saints of God in the Scriptures, but mountaintop experiences have also been enjoyed by us, the people of God. And we ought to be crying out and saying, Lord, it's good for us to be here. We don't deserve to be able to be in the house of God. We don't deserve to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says that we sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now I want you to know that just as Peter, James, and John were with Moses and Elijah on this experience here in the mountain, that when we enter into the kingdom of heaven while we're living here in this world, that Jesus says that we sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So it is that I think we in the kingdom of heaven, we experience just as great a miracle and blessing as Peter, James, and John did. In fact, I think a greater blessing. Who can you think of in the Old Testament that had a great mountaintop experience where that individual or individuals could say, Lord, it's good for us to be here? Who is someone in the Old Testament that you know of that had a great mountaintop experience? Thank you. Okay, let's start with Moses. When God took Moses, God told Moses to come up on Mount Sinai, and the Word of God tells us that God took those two tables of stone and wrote the Ten Commandments, and Moses saw God writing on those two tables of stone. He saw Him writing the commandments down. Brethren, that was a marvelous thing for any human being to ever be able to experience. And all the other children of Israel, though they might have wanted to go up on that mountain, God had told them if any of the rest of them even touched that mountain, they would die. So Moses had a great mountaintop experience to be up there and to see God give him the Ten Commandments. And brethren, we ought to be thankful that God has given us His commandments just as He gave Moses those Ten Commandments. Moses had a great mountaintop experience. And I believe Moses could have shouted like Peter did, Lord, it's good for me to be here on this mountain with you. Abraham, now I want you to think about this just a moment. Do you think that when Abraham took his only son, Isaac, do you think that when Abraham took his only son, Isaac, up on that mountain, do you think that Abraham would have been saying, Lord, it's good for me to be here? Okay, now heads are going no and heads are going yes. I want you to listen. I believe if you'll think about it that he would say yes. Now listen just a minute. I would have said no if you'd just asked me on the spur of the moment. But when the Word of God tells us that God came to Abraham and told him, now take thy son, thine only son Isaac, take him up into that mountain and offer him as a burnt sacrifice, the Word of God says that Abraham arose early in the morning. If he had been dreading it, I think he would have put it off just as long as he could. But he arose early in the morning, and you go home and read in Genesis chapter 22, and the Word of God says that Abraham began to run toward that mountain. Abraham looked forward. Now listen carefully. Don't misunderstand. Abraham looked forward to doing what God told him to do on that mountain. And the reason I say he looked forward to doing it is because he looked forward to seeing what he thought God was going to do after he offered his son. He looked forward to seeing what he thought the New Testament. The New Testament tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, the New Testament tells us that Abraham thought that he was going to slay his son, and then he thought God was going to raise his son from the dead. So he was not concentrating on the horror of slaying his son and offering his son as a sacrifice, but he was looking beyond that and looking forward to seeing God raise his son from the dead. And so I believe that when Abraham carried his only son Isaac up on that mountain, I believe that Abraham could say, Lord, it's good to be here. In spite of the fact that he was giving the greatest sacrifice that any human has ever given, he still could say, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Here's another reason that he could say, Lord, it's good for us to be here. He, on the way up that mountain, the son asked him. He said, here's the wood. And talked about everything else they had except for something to offer. And do you remember what Abraham said? The Lord will provide himself an offering. Did he know what was going to happen when he got up there? He didn't fully understand every detail correctly, but he was looking forward to the Lord providing himself an offering. It was a foreshadowing of God providing His only begotten Son to take our place on the cross of Calvary. And then he saw that ram caught in the bushes, didn't he? And he took that ram and offered that ram. I'm telling you, brethren, when Abraham took his only son up on that mountain, he could say like Peter did. He could say, Lord, it's good for me and my son to be here. I pray that God will help all of us this morning to understand that there are many mountaintop experiences. There are many times that God lifts us up and we can say like Peter, Lord, it's good to be here. Not only on mountaintop experiences, but there are a lot of other times I think we ought to be saying, Lord, it's good to be here. You know, at the graduation Friday night, I was standing there and just looking at Sister Macy and Brother Andy and Sister Kendra. And as I was looking out there at them and the others that were graduating, this passage was on my heart, Lord, it's good to be here. Were you glad to be there? Were you glad to be there? Were you glad to be there, Brother Andy? See, these three graduates that were graduating Friday night, could y'all say, Lord, it's good to be here. We finally made it. We've worked hard. We've labored. We've studied. There have been times we didn't think we were going to make it, but we have finally made it. And you could say, thanksgiving to God, you could say, Lord, it's good to be here. And those parents of those children, could they also say, Lord, it's good to be here. And everybody else that loves them and everyone else that graduates, you can say, Lord, it's good to be here. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to know that we're experiencing blessings from God. And that's the reason we can say, Lord, it's good to be here. Sometimes when I get home, you know what I say when I get home? It's good to what? It's good to be home. Sometimes I go on a trip. I go off and preach somewhere. And listen, brethren, every time I go off and preach at another church, you know what I think? Lord, it's good to be back home. It's good to be back home. Because I don't feel the same blessings in other places as I feel here. So I can say every time I come here, I can say, Lord, it's good to be here. The Word of God teaches us, brethren, even in our natural experiences, I believe that Jesus told His apostles on one occasion, He said, come ye apart and rest a while. I believe that a child of God, and though that graduation was a natural experience, I still could feel the presence of God, though there was righteous indignation in me that wanted to slaughter some of those people that had no respect for prayer, or for the Pledge of Allegiance, or for anything else that was going on. Brethren, I don't know what's happened to America. That was the most ungodly I've ever seen a graduation be. I'm not talking about the graduates. I'm talking about the disrespect that so many people had for that ceremony that was going on. The disrespect for God, the disrespect for authority. I watched one or two policemen try to correct somebody, and they just got in their face. They don't have any fear of anything or anybody. But could I still say, Lord, it's good to be here? You hear the question? Could I still say, Lord? See, sometimes I let things like that upset me so much, I can't even say it's good to be here. But I need to pray that God will help me, that I would not let other people and other things interfere with me so much that I can't say, Lord, it's good for me to be here. It's good to be here. Even in going fishing, can you, and let me quickly say this, going fishing or golfing or hunting or anything like that is not just as good as being in church. I have a very dear friend that he tells me I worship God just as much when I'm hunting as I do when I'm in church. Well, I'm sorry, that is just not true. I do believe that God's people can enjoy the pleasures of this life. I believe that there is a time to go fishing and hunting and playing golf or whatever else you might desire to do. And I believe that when you're doing those things, if you can from your heart, if you can feel the presence of God with you and say, Lord, it's good to be here. It's good to enjoy the things that you have provided for us. That's giving glory to God when you say, Lord, it's good to be here. That's not just enjoying the blessing. That's enjoying the one who, that's giving glory to the one who's blessing you to enjoy that blessing. There's another mountaintop experience that the disciples had when they, after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus, just before His ascension, He went up onto the Mount Olivet, and the Word of God says His disciples came to Him up on that mountain, and they saw Jesus ascending up into heaven. You think those disciples who saw Jesus again and saw Him ascending up into heaven, you think they could say like Peter did on the Mount of Transfiguration? You think those disciples that saw Jesus ascending into heaven could say, Lord, it's good to be here. It's good to see Jesus again. It's good to see Jesus alive. And it's good to see Jesus arise and return to the Father. It's good to be here, to see and witness such things as that. Those three that I saw graduate, two of them, at least two of them, I was there the day they were born. Now, you think about that. It was good to be there that day. It's good to be there all during their lives to see different accomplishments. But brethren, it's good, more than all the natural blessings of life. The greatest blessings we have are to be having spiritual fellowship with Jesus Christ. If you can't, listen carefully, if Jesus is not manifesting Himself where you are, you need to get somewhere else. You need to go where you can feel the presence of Jesus. Now, go with me to Philippians chapter 4, because even though I have rejoiced in thinking about all those mountaintop experiences, what about those occasions that instead of having a mountaintop experience, what about those occasions that not being on the mountain, but you're down in the valley? Can you, should you, be able to say, Lord, it's good to be here, even down in the valley? For example, when Stephen was being stoned to death, do you think Stephen could have said, just like Peter, do you think he could have said, while he was being stoned, do you think he could have said, Lord, it's good to be here. It's good to stand up and proclaim the truth to these people. It's good to feel your presence with me. And above all, Stephen could say, it's good to see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Yeah, I believe that Stephen, while being stoned, could say, just like Peter, Lord, it's good for me to be here, even down in this valley, even in the middle of all this persecution, even there is a good place to be if you can feel the presence of Jesus with you. Listen carefully. Turn in your Bibles to, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. I want you to see and to know that it's not only on the mountaintop experiences that we need to say, Lord, it's good for us to be here, but I want us to know that even on our deathbed, we ought to say, Lord, it's good to be here. Even though you're having troubles and problems of different kinds, some of you have great sicknesses, you need to say, Lord, it's good to be here. I'm telling you that if you can feel Jesus with you, you can still say, Lord, it's good to be here. Whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're down in the valley, if you can feel the presence of Jesus, you can declare, Lord, it's good to be here. I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were being bound up to be cast into that burning fiery furnace, I think they could say, now would you have said right then, Lord, it's good to be here? If I had been them, I would have wanted to trade places with anybody else, probably on the face of the earth. But I think the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was so strong, and the peace of God was with them so much, that I think even while they were being bound up, and they were in the process of about to be cast into that burning fiery furnace, I think they could say, Lord, it's good to be here. And then when they were cast down into that burning fiery furnace, it was good to be there because Jesus was there with them, you see. Was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on the mountaintop? Or were they down in a burning fiery furnace? They were in the burning fiery furnace, but in the burning fiery furnace, they were on the mountaintop. And so they could say, Lord, it's good to be here. When someone told me this morning that Sister Joyce Crawford had just passed away this morning, I said, I'm glad she's home with the Lord. It's good for her to be where she is right now. It's good for her to be there. That's the best place we'll ever be. You know, as many as many beautiful pictures as we can see in the Word of God of people saying, Lord, it's good to be here, and it's good to be here, and it's good to be here. I want you to know that there is no place on this earth that's as good as one day when we're going to be there with the Lord. And we'll be able to say, Lord, it's good to be here. In the eternal heaven where there'll be no more sorrow, no sickness, no more pain, and no more death. But as long as we live here in this world, it doesn't matter whether we're abounding, whether we're on the mountaintop, or whether we're abased, whether we're down in the valley, we always need to be able to say from our heart, Lord, even here it's good to be. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, the Word of God says, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the saints of God at Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, the Word of God says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Whatever condition he was in, Paul said, I've learned to be content. And that word content doesn't just mean satisfied. It means I've learned to be happy in whatever state I'm in. Now listen. He says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. When he was abased, when he was broken, when he was poor, you think Paul could say, Lord, it's good to be here. You think he could say that? When he was sick, when he was in prison, do you think Paul could say, Lord, it's good to be here? I think he could. I think he could say in whatsoever state I am. Doesn't matter if I'm on the mountaintop or in the valley. It doesn't matter if I'm abounding or abased. It doesn't matter if I'm rich or poor. It doesn't matter if I'm bound or free. I can always say, Lord, it's good to be here because I can feel your presence with me. He says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Listen carefully. The children of Israel, after they had been delivered from Egyptian bondage, and they were in the wilderness, and they had manna to eat, and that's all they had to eat. And they were in the wilderness, and they were in the desert, and they were in the wilderness, and they were in the desert. What should they have said? Lord, it's good to be here. Because that rock that followed them, that rock was Christ. God was with them. And if they had had much spiritual understanding, they would have remembered where they were going. It would have been all right to go through the valley, because they knew they were on their way to the land of Canaan. But they took their eyes off where they were going, and they took their eyes off of God, and they began to go down, and they began, instead of saying, Lord, it's good to be here, they began to murmur and complain, and thousands of them died. It didn't change the fact that they continued to get manna, but they suffered greatly. In fact, they all 21 years of age and older at the time the law was given, they all perished in the wilderness. Do you know why they perished? It's because they did not remember to feel and say and know and think, Lord, it's good to be here. Wherever I am, if God is with me, it's good to be here. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.